Please? No, I mean.
No.
No? Not even one reference to Vanna White?
You just got it right there.
Okay, I won't. I'm not going there then. I think we can be brief this morning, but this is information that each legislator and each taxpayer needs to know. Regrettably, in the month of April, revenues were not as bad as we projected. They were worse. They were $255 million below the forecast made for the legislature over 2 weeks ago. That's a very large miss, and undoubtedly going to be repeated in the last 2 months of this fiscal year. Let's look at the implications of that and the other recent shortfalls. By starting at a much lower point, starting the next fiscal year, July 1, accepting the revenue forecast from that point forward, in other words, the economic growth estimates that go into it, Indiana would have over $500 million less in fiscal 10 than the budget they were looking at used, and more than $500 million less in 11. So more than $1 billion less money than the budget that failed last week contemplated. This was the failure to look at reality that we've been talking about. And then looking at the implications of that once again, a gap, not only would it consume every penny of the reserves, every penny of our current reserves would have been wiped out before the end of 11, and we would be left with a gap between state spending and state revenues of another $1 billion come fiscal 12, the next budget cycle. So this is the cliff, this is the problem we have a common responsibility to avoid. I will say that to some extent the legislature was disserved by the technical committee, which produced a forecast that missed by $1 billion plus. But on the other hand, we were cautioning that this was obvious, and the April official numbers make it obvious now that that was true.
The commentary on your handout says there should be another forecast before a special session.
Yeah.
Who should conduct that?
I think the Budget Committee should. I've spoken to its chairman already this morning. Everyone, I think, will agree. You can't build a budget on a forecast that's provably more than $1 billion wrong. That's playing with pretend money. And so the first thing to do is to look at these actual numbers and rerun the forecast that they just used, honestly. If they want to go back to the economic folks and recheck to see if anything's changed on their end in the last couple weeks, that might be good practice, but odds are that won't change much. Again, the numbers I just showed you accept the forecast in terms of its going forward features. All we're doing is correcting the starting point on which they missed by more than $1 billion.
Ever since this system has changed from the old people, Baxter Group, to Nigel Cole, these forecasts haven't just been off. They have been hugely off. Why are the taxpayers still paying him? They should get somebody else to do it.
I think you're looking in the wrong place, honestly. First of all, I wouldn't fault anybody for the miss of last year, because the world changed in a huge way. And I think everybody's forecasters everywhere were surprised. Now, the error here, once again, at least so far, is not in the economics that says that there'll be 1-point-something% growth in 10 and 3% growth in 11. The error was a much simpler one, the refusal to look at actual dollars coming in today. That's not Nigel's job. That was the technical committee which uses the inputs of the Global Insight Company.
So should you get new technical
people? I think they should simply take a new look. The world has changed, and reality has changed, and We simply have to start with reality and write a budget to that, not to the pretense of that the legislature was using up through Wednesday night.
Governor, will you outline?
Said that he would like you to lay out a budget completeness to a funding formula before the legislature comes back in. Are you going to do that?
It's an option. I still think the appropriate role is the one I adopted at the State of the State speech, and every single day through Wednesday, which was to say, here's the boundary condition. We need to protect the reserves and leave the legislature the freedom, give them the respect to impose their own priorities on it. But if they would prefer a more directive approach, then that's an option.
Governor, where would you recommend lawmakers start in crafting a new budget to take into effect these new revenue, actual receipts, and forecasts?
They should start with the numbers, the actual numbers. We only have 2 months left in the fiscal year. It's not going to change very much. Let's hope it doesn't get even worse. But if you start at those numbers and then assume the gradual economic recovery that has been assumed up to this point, with which we have not presumed to quarrel, you get a $1.345 billion less money to deal with. And we're not going to spend money that's never going to get here.
Are you going to have to go into the rainy day fund in order to use it July
1st? No. Well, we don't know, honestly. The reduction in the state's Medicaid contribution that came through the Stimulus Act may cover the drop in revenues. Although, having seen April, I guess I kind of doubt it. But please, this is so important to understand. Some legislators may have sincerely believed they were voting for a budget that left some reserves, but they weren't. They were voting for a budget that obliterated our reserves and left a $1 billion structural deficit. And if some honestly thought they could trust the revenue forecast that was in that budget, then now they get a chance to do it again. I honestly think there's another way, there are other ways to accomplish the same thing and to deal with that uncertainty. A budget could be written with triggers that say that more spending can be added if revenues surprise on the upside, or more spending can be subtracted if revenues continue to disappoint on the downside. But I understand what those who are saying they're talking about, uncertainty, the kind we've never seen before. I think there may be a better way to deal with it, but their suggestion gets at a real problem.
Are you instituting any additional spending cuts?
We are looking every single day in every corner. And please note that the agencies of state government under our administration have already taken cuts on the order of 8%+. As big as this problem is, we're talking about a difference of 2 or 3%. In the total context of state spending. So what we'll be asking the legislature to do is no more difficult than things that we are doing right now in the areas under our control, and not as hard as what's going on in many, many other states. So we can manage this problem, but we have to start with reality, and with April's numbers, reality is now even more evident. Well, we've done between 800 and a billion just since December. And remember, that's only from a fraction of the total spending the state does. More than half the state spending goes out in education funding. That hasn't been touched. So we're working on a fraction of the state budget. We got that much.
Okay.